American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive, it's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And it is a good day. This is Ryan Robson reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, August 1st, 2011. And you are listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit-Rep on corporate legal tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this program, you are too. Also standing up for free speech and joining me today is Misanthropic Gods.
You can follow all these news stories and check our facts by going to the Rant Media forums and looking under Newsreel for a post with today's date. You can get there by going to smf.rantradio.com. This would be a free podcast like we heard on Rant Radio Talk, Galaxy 15 Radio, and recorded live in Second Life every Thursday night at 7 p.m. SL time at Grid Archers 1-55-74666. What we need right now, most of all, is your support. If you have something to send us, please email at news@rostudios.org. That is news@rostudios.org. And what we'd also like to have is any kind of feedback or anything like that. We'd love to hear from you, love to see what you have to say about the show.
And also a little piece of announcement here. We have a Twitter account now. It's at Aros, Red Octagon Tweet. Yeah, Red Octagon Tweet. And basically you can go there and check for if we reschedule the show or any of our other projects when we release them, we'll be posting there. So if you just follow that, you can keep up with us. If there's any changes, you'll know right away. So, right into the news. In Mad Science News, thanks to Wyandi for this one. 150 human-animal hybrids grown in UK labs. Embryos have been produced secretively for the past 3 years. Scientists have created more than 150 human-animal hybrid embryos in British laboratories. The hybrids have been produced secretively over the past 3 years by researchers looking at possible cures for a wide range of diseases. This revelation comes just a day after the Committee of Scientists warned of a nightmare of Planet of the Apes scenario in which work on human-animal creations goes too far. Which I really, really doubt that. Last night, a campaigner against the excesses of medical research said he was disgusted that scientists were dabbling in the grotesque. Figures seen by the Daily Mail show that 155 admixed embryos containing both human and animal genetic material have been created since the introduction of the 2008 Human Fertilization Embryology Act. This legalized creation of a variety of hybrids, including animal egg fertilized by human sperm, cybrids, in which a human nucleus is implanted into an animal cell, and chimeras, which human cells are mixed with animal embryos. I think it's a little more complex than just fertilizing an egg with a human sperm, otherwise that would have happened a long time ago on some farms. Scientists say that techniques can be used to develop embryonic stem cells, which can be used to treat a range of incurable illnesses. Three labs in the UK, at King's College London, Newcastle University, and Warwick University were granted licenses to carry out the research after the Act came into force. All have now stopped creating hybrid embryos due to a lack of funding, but scientists believe that there will be more such work in the future. And you can bank on that, someone's going to find a way to profit on it. The figure was revealed to Crossbench Peer Lord Alton following a parliamentary question. Last night he said, "I argued in Parliament against the creation of a human-animal hybrids as a matter of principle. None of the scientists who appeared before us could give any justification in terms of treatment. Ethically, it can never be justifiable. It discredits us as a country. It is dabbling in protest. At every stage, the justifications scientists have been, if you only allow this, we'll find cures for every illness known to mankind. This is emotional blackmail. Of the 80 treatments and cures that have come about from stem cells, all have come from adult stem cells, not embryonic ones." Well, there's not a whole hell of a lot of difference there, guys. "On moral and ethical grounds, this fails, and on scientific and medical ones, too." Josephine Quinteville, a pro-life group comment on wow, this is badly written, comment on reproductive ethics said, "I'm aghast that this is going on and that we didn't know anything about it. Why have they kept this a secret? Are they proud of what they're doing? Why do we need to ask parliamentary questions for this to come to light? The problem with many scientists is that they want to do things because they want to experiment. That is not a good enough rationale." Okay, lady, you have no idea how science works. Most of our major developments are found by accident while working on other things. Earlier this week, a group of leading scientists warned about Planet of the Apes experiments. I'm pretty sure they didn't call it that. Otherwise, they're not very good scientists. They called for new rules to prevent lab animals from being given human attributes. For example, injecting human stem cells into the brains of primates. I'd agree with that, just on the point of not making them so intelligent that they don't understand what we're doing to them. The lead author of the report, Professor Robin Lovell Bridge, from the Medical Research Council's National Institute for Medical Research, said the scientists were not concerned about human-animal hybrid embryos, because by law these have to be destroyed within 14 days. He said, "The reason for doing these experiments is to understand more about early human development and come up with ways of curing serious diseases. And as a scientist, I feel there is a more imperative to pursue this research. As long as we have sufficient controls, as we do in this country, we should be proud of the research." However, he called for stricter controls in another type of embryo research, in which animal embryos are implanted with a small amount of human genetic material. Human-animal hybrids are also created in other countries, many of which have little or no regulation.
Now, I'm not exactly sure how I feel about this. I mean, it's kind of like the whole, you know, with great power comes great responsibility with stuff like this. I kind of feel like we kind of have to play it smart, because with this type of stuff, we could start curing these cross-species diseases and stuff. And, you know, but we also could be making new cross-species diseases. So, you know, it's really kind of playing with fire here, but what's the point of doing science if you're not going to be taking any risk? So I kind of tentatively agree with this. I think that I would have to judge it more on a case-by-case basis and how careful the specific scientists are. I think it's really stupid to think that this is, you know, going to bring about the apocalypse or, you know, animal ape, you know, ape men taking over the world after everything else is destroyed. That's kind of stupid. I think that this is a really stupid comparison with Planet of the Apes. It's all just stupid media hype.
The way I see it, it depends on exactly what they're doing and how far they're going with it. I mean, what defines human beings? Well, our intelligence. Pretty much every other attribute to us, and even arguably our intelligence, are present in pretty much any other random group of animals on the planet. Mostly mammals will have the same attributes to us. So, as long as they're not making animals so intelligent that they're significantly above what their normal species intelligence would be, then I don't really see what the problem is here. We all kind of share very similar genes anyway, depending on how far away in the evolutionary tree they are from us. So, I mean, as long as we're not making sentient or sapient animals, that if they become sentient, therefore have the same rights as us sentient beings, or sapient, then we shouldn't really be worrying about this too much.
I think it would be very cool to have sentient beings made. And, you know, it is kind of forced evolution, and I think that that's not really a bad thing. What is technology? Technology is essentially, you know, bringing evolution outside of the body and changing our environment to us instead of us to our environment. So I think that, you know, using this as a term of, you know, artificial evolution is just fine by me, but I have to agree with Hugo here and say, if it becomes sentient, it has rights just like any other person.
Which I'm going to guess they're not doing that because of the fact they're destroyed within 14 days. But here in cell phone tracking news, thanks to WPDK, meet the Kaiser Soze of global phone tracking. Chances are you've never heard of True Position. If you're an AT&T or T-Mobile customer, though, True Position may have heard of you. Dun dun dun! When in danger, the company can tell cops where you are, all without you knowing. And now, it's starting to let governments around the world in on the search. Which I would argue that any cell phone provider can tell the cops where you are. At least any modern cell phone provider. The Pennsylvania company, a holding of Liberty Media, a giant that owns SiriusXM and the Atlanta Braves, provides location technology to those soon-to-be-merged carriers so police, firefighters, and medics can know where you're at in an emergency. In the U.S., it locates over 60 million 911 calls annually. But very quietly, over the last 4 years, True Position has moved into the Homeland Security business, worldwide, Around the world, True Position markets something it calls Location Intelligence, or LOCINT, to intelligence and law enforcement agencies. As a homeland security tool, it's enticing. Imagine an invisible barrier around sensitive sites like critical infrastructure, such as oil refineries and power plants. True Position's Director of Marketing, Brian Verano, tells Danger Room, "The barrier contains a list of known phones belonging to people who work there, allowing them to pass freely through the covered radius. If any phone enters that is not on the authorized list, authorities are immediately notified." Which is funny, because if I was going to go and infiltrate some building, I probably wouldn't carry a phone that could ring on me, just in case. You know, just in case it rings and gives me away. True Position calls that geoconferencing, as a company white paper explains. Its location tech collects, analyzes, stores, and displays real-time historical wireless events and locations of targeted mobile users. Okay, it can also work in other ways, pinging authorities when a phone is used by a suspected terrorist or criminal enters an airport, bus station, or other potential target. Now, of course, pinging is an IBM industry term, meaning to private message someone, not the literal tech term, which is test a computer's connectivity. And it works just as well in monitoring the locations of phones the suspect's phone calls, and who they call and text, and so on. For the past 4 years, True Position has quietly taken that tracking technology global, in the US, Verano says. True Position sells to mobile carriers, although it's cagey about whether the US government uses products. Okay, I thought that's who they were selling it to. But abroad, it sells to governments which it won't name. China. Ever since it came out with Locint in 2008, he says ministries of defense and interior from around the world have begun beating down our door. I sincerely hope so, but for another reason. That's got some surveillance experts and mobile activists worried. Keeping suspected terrorists away from nuclear power plants and discovering the networks of their contacts is all well and good, but in the hands of foreign governments, not all of whom respect human rights, True Position tech can just as easily identify and monitor networks of dissidents. For a company that can do so much to find out where a mobile user is, few outside the surveillance industry know much about True Position. That's a deliberate strategy on the company's part to keep a low profile from jump, Verano says. It grants few interviews. A little noticed fact, Fox News story from 2009 is a rare exception. Fox must be on board with this then if they let them do it, and discloses little about its foreign clients. Several surveillance experts contacted for the story were unfamiliar with the company. Well, now you get it through Newsreel, and this is why you listen. Result, says Christopher Sogayan, a graduate fellow at the Indiana University Center for Applied Cybersecurity Research, wow, I want to go there, is to make True Position the most important global geolocation company you've never heard of. It is like that line about Kaiser Soze from The Usual Suspects. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist, Segoian says. They've done the same thing, staying entirely below the radar. Except True Position is hardly satanic. I disagree. Its enhanced 911 or E911 services save lives. In one case, the company cites, a corrections officer in Ohio's Hamilton County was abducted by a recent parolee and stuffed into the trunk of his car. Her family had no idea where she was, but because her cell phone was turned on and her carrier used True Position's location tech, police were able to locate the phone along a Kentucky highway. They set a roadblock, freed the officer, and arrested her captor. Now that's all well and good, right, but your phone carrier can do it by signal triangulation anyway, and you can do it if you got GPS built in your phone, so we don't need this company handling that data. Thank you, thanks for calling. Here's how it works. True Position's location tool, known as Uplink Time Difference of Arrival, or UTDOA, calculates the time it takes for a signal traveling from a mobile device to reach sensitive receivers installed in the transceiver station of a cell tower. The receiver itself is said to resemble a pizza box. Why is that relevant? Determining the difference of time it takes for a signal to reach receivers in different towers, determined by servers called wireless location processors, calculates the phone location. The company says it has receivers installed in about 75,000 cell towers around the country. So it basically works by cell phone triangulation. Notice that the location tech here has nothing to do with GPS. It's network-based, rather than... So yeah, it's based on triangulation. For the better part of a decade, TruePosition has had contracts to provide E911 services with AT&T, signed originally with Cingular in 2001, which AT&T acquired, and T-Mobile 2003. As more and more 911 calls come in from mobile phones, by definition not linked to a fixed address, the Federal Communications Commission required wireless providers to provide precise location data to emergency call centers. The accuracy requirements for E911 top out at 300 meters, TruePosition says. UTDOA is accurate within 50 meters. The FCC met on Monday to consider changing the standard for a reason, Brano says. He granted me in an interview. Not me, the article writer. But TruePosition saw a growth market field where UTDOA had relevance, the expanding globalized field of homeland security. It really was recession-proof, or causing a recession, Brano explains. Because in many parts of the world, the defense and security budgets have either maintained where they were or increased by a large percentage. That's not a good thing. That realization led the company to explore UTDOA's potential as a security tool, as it's the rare terrorist or criminal who doesn't have a mobile device. Locant was born in October 2008. Imagine, a Locant primer on TruePosition's website explains. Explosion destroys an oil refinery. Who exactly was inside the facility prior to the explosion? If they've got a mobile device, UTDOA enabled geofences can answer the question. Which, I'm sure most terrorists use prepaid cell phones they buy from a friggin' 7-Eleven.
You know, it's this... This whole thing really shouldn't come to a surprise to any WOG out there, you know? I mean, if you're going to be... This is why I believe it was just a couple of weeks ago. Did we have the cell phone blocking, the cell phone signal blocking bag?
I don't remember that.
But, yeah, they have bags that you can put your cell phone in that are lined with metal. And you put them in there, and it completely blocks all the cell phone signals. So if you'd like to get something like that, I think it's great. You can get them for, like, even $2 or $3. And it's something great to have, you know, just as kind of OPSEC, PERSEC, you know, keeping your ass out of trouble. If you're going to be doing anything questionable, not that I advocate doing anything questionable, you know, throw your cell phone in there if you need it, you know. Or, you know, what if people use this stuff as to set up an alibi? You know, what if you give your phone to somebody else and they go someplace while you go commit a crime? You know, this stuff, they act like this stuff is, you know, the end all be all. It's really not. This is all just, you know, updates to the stuff that we already have and stuff that you should already know about. So, you know, just carry on as you normally would, just maybe with a little bit of security. You know, give yourself just a second thought to what you're doing and the stuff that you have on you, the technology that you have on you, and, you know, go on from there.
The way I see it is that the government's always had access to being able to triangulate your phone since they figured out how to do it, and now that most phones have a GPS transceiver in them, they can just as easily use your GPS device to track where you are. The governments and phone companies have been able to do this for years, ever since they figured out how to do it the first time. So this is just a middleman company which has access to the same information. Now, normally I wouldn't care about my phone being tracked, I actually rather like the government knowing my phone is, that way if I go missing, they can come find me. If I don't want them to come find me, I won't take the phone. Simple enough. But the way I'm seeing this is they're selling this to foreign governments now, which is bad enough. But, of course, they went into it because they realized it has profit. How long is it going to take them to realize and go, hey, insurance companies could use this. They can see how fast you're going, judging by how much distance you've covered in this certain time span. They can see how often you're going to these questionable areas of town and bars and stuff like that, often you leave the country, and they can jack your insurance rates right through the roof. How long do you think it's going to be until they figure out how to market this to an insurance company or some other major core political?
It's just one of those, but think about the uses for this in, you know, advertising. Think of what, you know, they had. It's kind of like, you know, think of Google and how they can, if you sign up to their service and you update, you know, they can kind of tailor your ads to you. Think of this as the same way. It's just now they don't have to have your permission to do it. They can just go out and do it. So, you know, this is why, you know, people should carry those cell phone signal blocking bags. I mean, like you can get them in Deal Extreme for $3 or something, you know? And this is what they're going to be doing, is this is the next big thing, is they're going to be, you know, having marketing, You know, think just like, as much as I hate that stupid Tom Cruise movie, Minority Report, you know? It'll be just like that. You walk in, and they know who you are, they know where you've been, they know, you know, what you've been doing, all that stuff.
And just to end off this article on a positive note, let's think what this could do for augmented reality games. You could all link into the same server, even though you're all in virtual cities. You can figure out, you know, a grid and calculate your positions relative to each other in this overlay grid using your real-life coordinates. And moving right along, in silencing scientists news, thanks to Fat Ninja. CERN, that's the main particle, that's a Large Hadron Collider, the particle collider over in Geneva, gags physicists in cosmic ray climate experiment. The chief of the world's leading physics lab at CERN in Geneva has prohibited scientists from drawing conclusions about a major experiment. The CLOUD, Cosmic's Leaving Outdoor Droplets experiment, examines the role that energetic particles from deep space play in cloud formation. CLOUD uses CERN's proton synchrotron to examine nucleation. CERN Director General Rolf Dieter Heuer told Welt Online that the scientists should refrain from drawing conclusions from the latest experiment. Are they allowed to publish the results? I have asked my colleagues to present results clearly, but not to interpret them, reports veteran science editor Nigel Calder on his blog. Why? Because, Heuer says, that would go immediately into the highly political arena of the climate change debate. One has to make clear that cosmic radiation is only one of the many parameters. The unusual gagging order could have been issued because the results of CLOUD are really, really boring, muses Calder. Or it could be because the experiment invites a politically unacceptable hypothesis on climate. The CLOUD experiment builds on earlier experiments by Danish physicist Henrik Svendsenmark, who demonstrated that cosmic rays provide a seed for clouds. Tiny changes in the Earth's cloud cover could account for variations in temperature of several degrees. The amount of ultrafine condensation nuclei, UFCN, material depends on the quantity and the background drizzle of rays, which varies depending on the strength of the sun's magnetic field and the strength of the Earth's magnetic field. But by how much? Speaking at the private event attended by L. Reg earlier this year, Svendsmark, who has nothing to do with CLOUD, wouldn't be drawn. Which, you know, why would you comment on something you have nothing to do with? He said he thought it was one of four significant factors. Man-made factors, volcanoes, a regime shift in the world in the mid-70s, which they don't explain what that is at all, and cosmic rays. The quantity of cosmic rays is therefore had an influence on climate, but this isn't factored into IPCC's consensus science at all. According to Calder, CERN has joined a long line of lesser institutions obliged to remain politically correct about the man-made global warming hypothesis. It's okay to enter the highly political arena of climate change debate, provided your results endorse man-made warming. But if not, they support Svendsmark's heresy that the sun alters climate by influencing cosmic rays and cloud formation. Now, I'd just like to comment on this a little bit, is that a lot of people working at CERN aren't climatologists or meteorologists or anything to do with climate. They're physicists. So while they should be publishing the results, no, I don't think they should be making comments on whether or not it affects the weather. Leave that to actual meteorologists.
See, I agree with that, but the reason that they're not, you know, coming up with a conclusion for this because of that reason, they're coming up with no conclusion for this because they don't want it to be politically charged. So essentially, they're taking the pussy way out and saying, "Oh well, you know, it'd cause too much of a stir, so we're not even going to bother." That's bullshit. You know, what is science if we're not constantly pushing edges? I already said this once in this broadcast, you know, but what is science if we're not pushing edges? If you're not pushing edges, you're not doing science right, you know? If you're not pissing someone off somewhere, you're not doing science right. So I think that this is just some political bullshit. I think that CERN really should be looked down upon for giving that stupid excuse for this.
Now, I somewhat agree with that. I do think they shouldn't have a gag order, but at the same time, I don't think the scientists should comment on the results as far as climate goes. If they really think that they have something here with the climate, what they should do is find some climatologists and meteorologists who are experts in this field and co-author a paper with them so they can check over stuff, make sure they haven't missed factors, because these are particle physicians. They don't understand all the factors that go into a climate phenomenon. So you want to make sure that you have someone as a check and balance before they make any conclusion on this. However, I don't agree with an outright gag order. That seems a bit political to me.
Well, the whole thing is political. You know, they admit that in the article. Is they're doing it just because they don't want to piss people off. I agree with you completely that if it's not their, you know, specialized field, they should definitely co-author a paper. But at this, they're just giving some bullshit. They're not saying that. They're saying, you know, this is all just because it's political. We don't really care about the result.
Of course, we don't know what's actually said here because the only person they spoke to has nothing to do with the project. So, moving right along. In desperate protest news, thanks to Thomas for this one. Samsung workers in Mexico on hunger strike, solidarity needed. Now, I'd like to note that this reads a lot more like an editorial than a news piece because it wasn't from an actual news site, so take this with a bit of a grain of salt. Four female workers, unfairly fired and victims of workplace abuse, have caged themselves and sewn their lips shut as they launch a hunger strike that threatens to threatens to burn us up alive in dramatic protest against a multinational corporation, Samsung, funded by the Korean capital, which is currently constructing a plant for the extraction of natural gas in the Mexican port of Manzanillo in the case of Colima, or in the state of Colima. Now, I really hope that she went and told people that she's going to burn us up alive before she sewed her mouth shut, or there may have been some reinterpretation there. Made Diaz Rodriguez, Sandra Gomez, Lourdes Zamora Elvira, or Oronsco, worked in the kitchen of the Ingeniera. I'm not Spanish, I don't speak Spanish, I'm gonna fuck these words up so bad. Ingeniería Civil Construction Company, subcontracted by the multinational, and whilst working were victims of constant abuse and mistreatment, which escalated to daily physical and verbal abuse from the Korean bosses and foremen. To these facts, there can also be added multiple instances of arbitrary treatment and labor abuses, such as the imposition of 12-hour days in which no pay for the extra hours, which were their legal right. This situation is a daily reality for the hundreds of workers who lend their services to the aforementioned company. The inhuman and degrading conditions imposed on both male and female workers have already resulted in a diversity of protests, including a strike, without any effect on the violation of human labor rights. On the 3rd of June last year, Medea Diaz, a single mother working as a cook, initiated protests against the arbitrary sacking and beatings dealt out to her by Korean employers. In the first instance, she locked herself in a cage and sewed her lips before days later caging herself again along with her two children. Okay, don't get your kids involved in this. You know, if you're going to do a hunger strike, at least, you know, hand them over to someone who can, you know, make sure they're taken care of if you have to die. After which, she officially denounced her aggressors, an accusation which has not had any effect. Well, no shit. Last July 6th, the compañera Medai, who had been reinstalled, okay, I don't know what they're trying to say there, was once again attacked and thrown out of work. I guess they rehired her and threw her out again. Failing to receive a positive response to her demands for injustice from either the labor authorities or her union, she returned to the cage, accompanied by her workmates who had also been fired. They are currently on hunger strike and have sewn their lips shut. Again. Furthermore, Madai has declared her readiness to take extreme action of setting herself on fire in the event of receiving an unsatisfactory answer to her demands. Most people just try to, you know, run across the border or something. It must be mentioned that the construction of the gas plant in Manzanillo has itself provoked multiple instances of rejection, both for the serious environmental effects it will impose in the coastal and lagoon region into which it will be embedded, and for those that it will cause for the economy and life of the fishing towns in the zone. As can be observed, this is a situation of serious conflict, and the potential exists for it to worsen, even with greater effects on health, physical integrity of life, and life of compañeras in protest. All this is caused, needless to say, by spelled wrong, I'm not quite sure what they're saying, and merciless infringement of every human and labor norm on the part of the transnational business and its representatives. Faced with the events related herein, the solidarity of all organizations is an urgent necessity. Coordinated and determined action is required to oblige bosses of this transnational to desist from their arbitrary actions, to demand governmental authorities that cease their indolence and intervene to achieve a solution, and above all, to prevent the dramatic end to this conflict. So this wasn't terribly well written. It was some editorial on some blog, so take a little bit with a grain of salt there.
You know, the biggest thing that I'm seeing here is, yeah, she's probably being treated like crap. It's quite common over, especially in Mexico, over in the border. Lots of technology companies, you know, export their work and factories to Mexico just over the border for the U.S. market, particularly. And, you know, they're paid really crappy wages and they're treated badly and so on and so forth. But this lady here, she's just flat out crazy. You know, this is not the way to do it. Yeah, she may be trying to get headlines. And yeah, she obviously succeeded. It made it onto this other blog that we got it from, you know, but you're going about it all wrong. You got to hit them where their profit is. You can't just, you know, make headlines and go, I'm going to sew my mouth shut and light myself on fire because these guys treated me like crap. Yeah, well, you know, this lady obviously is not a goal-oriented individual. She's been taken over by her emotions, and she's doing crazy stuff right now. She needs to essentially wage a guerrilla war against this company. And she's going about it all wrong. She needs to seriously hit them where their profits are. That's the only way you're ever going to get these guys to change, you know? If you make headlines, that might hurt a little bit, but you got to do something more. You got to take it to the next step, you know? And killing yourself is not taking it to the next step. This is just stupid. And the fact that she even dragged her kids into this shows that she's just completely insane.
Oh yeah, I can understand grabbing headlines. If you don't know what else to do, get the media involved. At least maybe someone who does know what to do will see what you're doing and do something about it. But yeah, as soon as you got her kids involved and started starting to light yourself on fire, it's like, okay, lady, you do have other options here. You're not actually a slave. You can leave. And if you need to feed your kids, well, you can find some way to do it without lighting yourself on fire. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to have a pun in the title. And not hungry enough for a Monsanto news. Hungary destroys all Monsanto GMO maize fields. In an effort to rid the country of Monsanto's GMO products, Hungary has stepped up the pace. This looks like gonna be another slap in the face for Monsanto. A new regulation was introduced this March which stipulates that seeds are supposed to be checked for GMO before they are introduced into the market. Unfortunately, some GMO seeds made it to farmers without them knowing it. Almost 1,000 acres of maize found to be grown with genetically modified seeds have been destroyed throughout Hungary. Deputy State Secretary of the Ministry of Rural Development, Lajos Bagnar, said, or Bagnar, I'm not sure, the GMO maize has been plowed under, says Lajos, but pollen has not spread from the maize, he added. Well, I guess if you got it early enough, you could be sure of that. Unlike several EU members, GMO seeds are banned in Hungary. The checks will continue despite the fact that seed traders are obliged to make sure the products are GMO-free, Bagnar said. During the investigation, controllers have found Pioneer and Monsanto products among the seeds planted. The free movement of goods within the EU means that authorities will not investigate how the seeds arrived in Hungary, but they will check where the goods can be found, Bagnar said. Regional Public Radio reported that the two biggest international seed-producing companies are affected in the matter, and GMO seeds could have been sown up to thousands of hectares in the country. Most of the local farmers have complained since they just discovered they were using GMO seeds. With the season already underway, it's too late to sow new seeds, so this year's harvest has been lost. I hope there's a little bit of restitution for them there. Because, you know, 1 year of crop failure can mean you lose the farm. And to make things even worse for the farmers, the company that distributed the seeds in Baranya County is under liquidation. Therefore, if any compensation is paid by the international seed producers, the money will be paid primarily to that company's creditors, rather than the farmers. Hopefully the government, because they declared this and plowed these farms under, hopefully they'll come forward and at least give these guys enough money to make it through the next growing season.
You know, I really think that the companies here should be totally paying what those guys would make for their full, you know, crop. I think that this is bullshit that, you know, these genetically modified seeds are ending up in, you know, places where they're supposed to be banned. I think that they totally should hold the company accountable for all of it, you know, for the last cent. And I think it's really bullshit that it's the farmers here that are really getting the ass end of the stick, you know? It's really too bad for these guys that, you know, they were just, you know, buying seeds and they weren't advertised as genetically modified. They didn't know they were genetically modified. You know, the government comes in, does these tests, says, oh, look, they're genetically modified, and there goes, you know, the stuff that's paying for your house, you know, paying for your food that you put on the table, you know, paying for your kids to go to school, you know, that, and now they're just like, oh well, too bad, so sad, you know. And I think it's bullshit. But I think it is really good that these countries are banning genetically modified seeds. I mean, this is all, it's all licensing bullshit. It's not like they're making better, you know, seeds that, you know, are easier to sow and so on and so forth. Is they're making this so they can make a profit. And that's all that they're doing, is they're licensing these seeds. Is you don't own these, you license them, which is complete bullshit, you know? It's freaking seeds, man, it's food. You shouldn't license food like this. This is something that's important. This is something that people need to live. You shouldn't be licensing it. But, you know, good on the government for banning it, but I really wish they'd be able to hold Monsanto over the fire for this. I really, really do.
I agree, mostly. I don't have a specific problem with genetically modified food in general. I have a problem with Monsanto and other companies like them because they're using this to ramp up profits by making self-destroying crops that won't germinate the second season, so you can't save seed. But at the same time, we have world hunger problems, and genetic modification can pull out new strains that can grow faster, you know, maybe grow twice a season, maybe a little bit more hardy to harsh conditions like low water and stuff like that. So, while I do support them in this particular endeavor because of the fact that Monsanto is friggin' evil, they need to get someone in government who understands the biology behind what's going on here and keeps up to date with it. And instead of banning GMO altogether, they need someone to go through and sort this out and go, okay, this is beneficial, this is corporate evil. And that way you can get, you know, the high-yield good crops in and keep all the really crazy corporate cash crops out. And in space news, daunting space task, send astronauts to asteroid. With the Space Shuttle now history, NASA's next great mission is so audacious, the agency's best minds are wrestling on how to pull it off. Send astronauts to an asteroid in less than 15 years. The challenges are innumerable. Some old-timers are grousing about it, saying that going back to the moon makes more sense. But many NASA brains are thrilled to have such an improbable assignment. And NASA leaders say civilization may depend on it. Dun dun dun! The asteroid is a giant space rock that orbits the sun, like Earth, and someday one might threaten the planet. But sending people to one won't be easy. You can't land on an asteroid because you'd bounce off. It has virtually no gravity. At least small ones don't, anyway. But reaching it might require a NASA spacecraft to harpoon it. Heck, astronauts couldn't even walk on it because they'd float away. But sending people to one won't be easy. Same line there. But NASA's thinking about jetpacks, tethers, bungees, nets, and spiderwebs to allow explorers to float just above the surface of it while attached to a smaller mini spaceship. Such a ship, somewhat like a shuttlecraft, like from Star Trek, melded with a deep-sea explorer with pincher-like arms, is needed to get within working distance of the rock. That craft would be enough for astronauts to live for a week or so. They still need a larger habitat for the long term. It would take half a year to reach an asteroid, based on current possible targets. The deep space propulsion system to fly such a distance isn't perfected yet. Football-sized solar panels would help, meaning the entire mothership complex would be fairly large. That means you've got shuttles and a mothership here. Like, come on, that's just awesome. It would have to protect the space travelers from killer solar and cosmic ray bursts. And they would need a crew capsule, maybe two, for traveling between the asteroid complex and Earth. All those parts, mini spaceship, habitat living area, crew capsule, solar rays, and propulsion system, would have to be linked together in the middle of space, assembled in a way much like the International Space Station, but on a smaller scale. Beyond those obstacles, NASA doesn't even know which asteroid they would be the best place to visit. All this has to be ready to launch by 2025 by presidential order, which of course that can be overturned if Obama loses the election or anyone between here and them, here and then could shut down this project by then. This is the next big step, said Kent Johnson, chief architect of the human exploration team at Johnson Space Center. This cut into the universe, away from Earth's gravity completely. This is really where you are doing a Star Trek kind of thing. As dreamers of NASA, both excited and anxious. It is a risky mission. It is a challenging mission, said NASA Chief Technology Officer Bobby Braun. It is the kind of mission that engineers will eat up. This is a matter of sending humans farther than ever before, said NASA Deputy Administrator Lori Garrier. It is all a stepping stone to the dream of flying astronauts to Mars in the mid-2030s, which, you know, bullshit, I think we should be there by now. I think it is the mission that NASA should embrace, said University of Tennessee Aerospace Professor John Meritor. To be successful at this mission, you've got to embrace all the technologies that you need for Mars. Critics, including former Apollo astronauts and flight directors, have blasted President Barack Obama for canceling George W. Bush's plan to return the astronauts to the moon. They dismissed talk of asteroid visits. But that's because NASA has not done a good job of outlining the fascinating details and explaining why it is important, said astronomer and former astronaut John Grunsfeld. NASA does not have a story right now, said Grunsfeld, deputy director at the Space Telescope Science Institute. Exploration is nothing if not the articulation of a great story. The story begins with NASA, with why NASA would want to go to an asteroid. The agency has sent small spacecraft to study asteroids over the years, and even landed on one in 2001. Just last week, a space probe began orbiting a huge asteroid called Vista, which lies beyond Mars. Now, of course, we'd want to go to asteroids for two big reasons. One, to deflect an asteroid if they come towards Earth, or two, to mine it, because a lot of them are made of shit like pure palladium.
You know, I mean, this is really what it should be here, is we should be using this for not only mining, but, you know, this could be like a mock Mars, you know, mission, is what this could be. Is, you know, things will be very different, but we could be testing a lot of the stuff that we'd be using if we were trying to go to Mars. And, you know, I think that the NASA guys should be excited about it. If they're excited about it, then that means that they're going to be doing a good job of it, you know? If they're excited, they're going to be working. That means they're not going to be moving on to, you know, some private corporation or something that's doing other stuff. You know, they're doing the whole spaceship one thing. And, you know, something a little bit kind of related to this is Russia actually has plans to bring down the International Space Station in, I think, 2025, 2022, something like that. I'm not exactly sure on the date, but I did read a news story about it. And they pretty much said that they wouldn't be able to leave it up. So they are essentially planning to take down the International Space Station by then. So this, you know, this could be just the next logical step. And I think it's really great. I think anything that we do, go to the moon, go to Mars, go to asteroids, I don't really care. As long as we get off this planet, we keep moving forward in space, I think that's really where the future is and where everything should be going.
Absolutely. I really hope that Obama's plan to pour money into NASA now, which I don't know where he's going to get this money from. If he pulls out of the war, maybe he'll be able to do it, but they're in economic crisis right now. He wants to go to an asteroid. And, I mean, NASA is not going to get off the ground and onto an asteroid if their budget keeps getting cut. So I'm cautiously optimistic on this one. I really, really want to see them pull this off, especially since it means they'll have to work on, perfect, and develop a bunch of technologies that will be relevant to deep space travel in the future. But at the same time, I just don't see where the money is going to come from. In Cyber Vigilante News, thanks to Kevin for this one. Man held over PC virus, first arrest warrant for storing computer virus under revised penal code. Police have arrested a man on suspicion of storing computer virus on his personal computer without legitimate reasons, the Metropolitan Police Department announced Thursday. The MPD arrested 38-year-old Yoshihiro Kawaguchi of Ogaki, Gifu Prefecture, at his home Sunday immediately after investigators confirmed he was storing the virus in question on his personal computer. The revised penal code, which was enforced July 14, banned storage of a computer virus for the purpose of infecting other computers. Violators can be sentenced to a maximum of 2 years in prison and up to 300,000 yen. The virus found on Kawaguchi's computer works by repeatedly copying vast amounts of graphic elements and files on a computer, causing it to freeze or malfunction, according to the MPD. Which, I would argue that there's a lot of video games that would do that. Fallout! The MPD suspects around 2,000 users of the file-sharing software have been infected with the virus. According to the MPD, it was the first case in the country after the revised penal code, which prohibits the creation of distribution of viruses, was put into force this month. Kawaguchi uploaded a file containing the virus, which was titled to suggest child pornography, to the internet via file-sharing software Share. People who downloaded the file and opened it on their computers or activated a DVD on which the file was saved would cause the computers to be infected according to the MPD. So basically, this guy made a virus that was targeted to pedophiles, specifically. So this guy's a cyber vigilante, hence the title. The charge of storing computer virus without legitimate reasons has been applied for the first time on the basis of the revised penal code, thanks to a cyber patrol investigation by the MPD. The investigation found a file containing the virus that had been distributed on the internet via file sharing. I read that already. As MPD investigators searched Kawaguchi's home, the virus was found stored in his personal computer. He was caught and immediately arrested. Which, I hope it takes more evidence than having the virus to convict you of this, because anyone who's infected with a virus has the virus by definition, and they're storing it on the computer by definition. So I hope they have to use some other evidence to prove that they're actually intending to infect people with it. Thanks to the revised penal code, we were able to take quick action, prevent the virus from causing more harm, said a senior MPD official. What harm did it cause? It was a pedophile guy. Before the revision of the law, there was no law that enabled police to directly keep surveillance on virus creators, leaving police to catch virus creators using various laws and ordinances, including the copyright law, or applying charges of property destruction.
Yeah, I really don't have any issue with him with this virus, you know, I mean, especially what he was using it for, you know, using it against pedophiles, man, that's just like, oh, that's just great, you know, that's just mint right there. But, you know, I think this is kind of bullshit. You know, if you make or, regardless if you're spreading it or not, you know, if you make or create a virus, I don't think it should be an issue, because this here is a law that essentially makes it illegal to even have a virus. So my best friend, he does IT work. Every computer that he comes upon that has a virus, he takes the virus off, puts it on his external hard drive, and he keeps a whole record of them there. He has a whole bunch of them, and he essentially deconstructs them, figures out what they do, how to defeat them, and everything like that. You know, and it's just like, that would be illegal. And that seems so stupid to me, that having this is illegal, you know, it's ridiculous. I think that this is really stupid, but, you know, good on this guy. Support this guy. You know, he's out against pedophiles. You know, he's a smart guy. He's creating this virus, and good for him.
Like I said, I really hope they have some other criteria for catching these people rather than just they have a virus. Because there's lots of reasons that you would have a virus, but not actually be intending to infect people with it. In DNA database news, thanks to Morps for this one. Innocent people's DNA profiles won't be deleted after all, Minister admits. Instead, the police will retain DNA profiles in anonymized form, leaving open the possibility of connecting them with people's names, and ministers have admitted. The admission appears to break a coalition agreement to delete all innocent profiles, apart from those accused of violent or sex crimes, from police databases. Civil liberties groups accused the government of a disgraceful U-turn and a breach of promise to destroy innocent people's DNA. It is the latest in a list of about turns by the government on key pledges, such as the selling of tracts of forest, axing free school milk for some children, and capping welfare handouts for all claims at £26,000 a year. Currently, in England and Wales, the DNA profiles of everyone arrested for a recordable offense are retained by the police, regardless of whether or not they are charged or convicted. This has meant that the police's national DNA database holds more than 5 million profiles, including 1 million people with no criminal conviction. Experts say storing DNA of innocent people gave them an unfair presumption of guilt in the eyes of the police. The coalition agreement last May said the government would adopt the protections of the Scottish model for the DNA database. DNA samples from innocent people would be deleted, apart from those accused of a sexual or violent offenses, which would be held for 5 years. However, Home Office Minister James Brokenshire admitted to MPs on a committee which is considering the legislation that police forces will retain innocent profiles. Mr. Brokenshire said he had won agreement from the information watchdog that DNA profiles could be retained by forensic science laboratories. This would mean that the profiles would be considered to have been deleted, even though a DNA profile record minus identification information will still exist. So basically what they're doing is taking a label off the vial and saying, look, it's deleted, but it's still here, but we don't know who it is anymore. It's all good now. However, Mr. Brokenshire admitted that it would still be possible to identify the anonymized profiles. Yeah, because they have your friggin' DNA. He said members of the committee will be aware that most DNA records will include the original barcode. Oh, so it's even worse than that. which is used by police and the FSS, Forensic Science Service, to track multiple and resulting profiles through the system. So they take the name tag off, but they leave the barcode on. So you scan the barcode and the name comes up. He doesn't see the problem with this. However, this would be a breach of the Data Protection Act and would not be acceptable evidence in a criminal investigation, he said. Although it will give you the right person to go for. However, civil liberties groups were outraged by the apparent about-turn. Isabella Sankey, policy director at Liberty, told the Daily Telegraph, anonymizing inmate genetic information is nowhere near the same thing as destroying it. Agree. And that this letter represents a massive U-turn on the part of two parties who promised that innocent people's DNA would be destroyed.
I think that the way that they're treating it now is a complete bullshit. I don't really have that big of a deal with their original plan, you know, to if you are convicted of a felony or anything like, or a violent crime, that it's stored. I really don't have that big of an issue with it. What I have an issue with is all these people who are getting their DNA stored, and then, you know, it turns out, oh, look at that, you're not actually guilty, we're not going to convict you, but we still have your DNA, so screw you. I think that's kind of bullshit. You know, I really have a problem with that. And I really have a problem with the fact that now they're doing all this, you know, trying to dodge it by taking the name off but not the barcode. It's just a freaking ploy, it's bullshit. And I think that these guys, again, should be held over the fire for this. This is bullshit. It's a big freaking just political game is all that it is. Nope, we're not actually having your name. Nope, but we're going to have the barcode. Screw this, you know? Screw this. We should have... I protest in the street about this. Let's do it, you know? This is bullshit. That's what I think.
I totally agree there. We have a system here. They've made promise, and there's documents in place and everything that they're... innocent people's DNA would be destroyed. Now, of course, this whole time we figured that, no, it wouldn't be destroyed, they're just going to keep it quiet. But, no, they're so bold here, they're just going, you people are too stupid to know what we're doing with this. So we're going to anonymize it, and that'll be good enough. Even though we can pull up your DNA later and see exactly what your sequence is. And, you know, how long before they start selling this to companies, too? I mean, they've already gone far enough to say that, oh, it's anonymous, we don't know who you are, so... I guess companies won't know who you are either, and we can just sell it to them.
You know, that's really where it's going to go, you know? That's really where it's going to go, is eventually they're going to realize that they can make a buck from it, and then, you know, then they're going to be selling all the data, which they already do. So, you know, big fucking surprise there, so...
You have some kick for us?
Yeah, I forgot to scroll down. Wow, that was very smooth of me. Okay, and we have no rec media for today, but what I am going to do is, without Hugo knowing, I am going to link to Legion Rosenman's YouTube video. That's your rec media for today. It is all about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So go have fun with that. Go watch that. You know, support it. He's one of our buddies here. He's here listening live tonight. And moving on to Cyberpunk Kit, what we have here is the transparent battery. We've had about all the transparent displays we can handle. Besides, what goes to screen when you can see through if the electronics behind it are as opaque as ever. Thankfully, the fine folks at Stanford are working hard to move us toward the future filled with invisible gadgets. Yi Chui and Yuan Yang led a team that have created a lithium-ion battery that appears transparent. In actuality, the cells are composed of a very fine mesh of electrodes, approximately 35 microns wide, that are small enough to appear invisible to the naked eye. The resulting power packs are cheap and flexible, but currently can only store about half as much energy as traditional lithium-ion batteries. You know, this is really cool. I mean, this is an easy way to, you know, add external batteries to something. That's what I would be using it for, is it doesn't really detract from... you know, the visual aesthetics of it, but you're actually able to have a little bit more functionality out of it. That's what I'd use it for, you know? And next we have the Daily Hack. We have the ignored disabled man builds his own damn elevator. This is really cool. I love this story. You know, an avid mountaineer was injured in a climbing accident that left him without the use of his legs. Unfortunately for him, he and his family reside on the fifth floor of an apartment building that was not handicapped accessible. Rather than move out, he asked the local council to install an elevator, which they agreed to. Time passed, and the project sank deeper and deeper into the mire of bureaucracy. Dimitri began to lose hope of ever seeing an elevator installed. After 6 years of relying on friends to help him get in and out of his apartment, he took matters into his own hand and installed a damn chairlift outside of his balcony. It goes all the way up the five floors, and he's able to get in. That is some badass shit right there, you know? I think what we need to get this guy is, I agree with Burn Inside Out here, we need to get him some robot legs, or we need to get him that crazy-ass, you know, ATV wheelchair that has, like, the tank treads on it. That's what we need to get this guy. That's what he deserves, you know? And then another piece of daily hack that we have is the GPS kill switch, thanks to Pseudocrow. In GPS technology, the phrasing COCOM limits is also used to refer to a limit placed in GPS tracking devices that should disable tracking when a device realizes it's going to be moving faster than 1,000 knots, which is 1,900 kilometers per hour or 1,200 miles per hour. At an altitude higher than 60,000 feet, that's 18,000 meters. This is intended to avoid the use of GPS in intercontinental ballistic missiles like applications. Some manufacturers apply this limit literally, disable when both limits are reached. Other manufacturers disable tracking when a single limit is reached. So this is just a little, you know, not really a daily hack, but just a little interesting piece of information out there that, you know, with any GPS device that you have is going to have these limits in it by law. So if you can't really use it for, you know, high altitude stuff, which is kind of a shame. I think they really should look into this, but I think it's kind of cool, you know, just an interesting little tidbit there.
Oh yeah, for sure. Lots of crazy stuff going on with that. I really want to learn how to test that. I want to like either build a missile that goes that fast and get a knock on my door from NORAD, or find a way to emulate that kind of speed so that we can actually test and see if a home household GPS device will turn off at those speeds. But don't worry, we will be back next week just to make sure you can get the news you need to survive. If you cannot distribute the show, please. If you cannot contribute to the show, please distribute it. We would like to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have any news or pertinent information you'd like to send us, you can reach us at news@rostudios.org. That's news@rostudios.org. If you like the music in the background, check out Optics by iScintilla. We fade out now with Proletariat by B Complex. Remember everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.